Valley's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President-elect Donald Trump's in Paris, where he'll attend the opening of the Notre Dame Cathedral after the fire 5 years ago. But ABC's Mary Alice Park says this trip also represents his first foreign visit since his election.
Trump has promised to dramatically shake up U.S. foreign policy, specifically trade policy. He campaigned on sweeping tariffs on goods coming from abroad, spooking allies, and leading economists to warn of potential price hikes for consumers. But this week, Trump boasting of how leaders in Canada and Mexico were already responding to his threats.
It's not clear where Trump stands on TikTok. A federal court Friday allowed the law requiring TikTok to be sold to remain in place. Ceremonies today at Pearl Harbor marking 83 years since the Japanese attack that led to the U.S. entry into World War II. And South Korea's president survived an impeachment vote after his bid to impose martial law this week. This is ABC News. The group that led the charge to end affirmative action programs is trying to do the same at military academies, saying that violates the Equal Protection Clause, but the District Court in Maryland disagreed, saying criteria for service academies is a fundamentally military personnel issue under the authority of the executive branch. This president of Students for Fair Admissions vowed to appeal. A major development in the trial involving an allegedly deadly chokehold on a New York City subway, says ABC's Stephanie Ramos.
The judge in the trial for Daniel Penny, accused in that deadly chokehold on a New York City subway, dismissing the most serious of the two charges against the Marine veteran. The ruling coming just hours after jurors said they were unable to come to a unanimous vote on second-degree manslaughter, which carried a prison sentence of up to 15 years. The 26-year-old Penny now facing a lesser charge of negligent homicide in the death of Jordan Neely.
I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WISS.FM.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy. We're talking about the Act 10 overturned by a Dane County judge.
I think it's important for everyone to know that this was the state that in 1959 first granted public employees the right to organize and bargain collectively. We have a lot to take back. You know, I used to say take back America, but I say take back Wisconsin.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Aaron Sommers, so you watched a film called Hot Frosty.
The main character puts a scarf that she does not know is enchanted around this snowman, and he comes to life, and he starts streaking through the town.
Is there any sex in this movie, Aaron?
There is not.
I think they're missing a perfect thing to go with a fetish snowman thing here.
Gotta bet that audience is huge. What's your kink? Snowman.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Nearly one in five Wisconsin newspapers shut down in the last year. It paints a grim picture for the future of local news provided by journalists who live in the communities they serve. Judith Ruiz Branch reports.
This year alone, 130 newspapers nationwide shut down, according to a report by the Medill School of Journalism at Northwestern University. But amid an increasing climate of misinformation and media distrust among some Americans, the news outlets they say they trust the most are community newspapers. Professor Robert Aysen at the University of Wisconsin at Madison says in this polarized climate, where people choose to get their news matters.
It seems less and less that we're willing or able to see things that we may share in common. And that's exacerbated by a media ecosystem where we're not even getting the same information, where we're not even sharing the same basic set of facts.
A recent review of radio talk shows in Wisconsin found those with the largest audiences and the most advertising are led by conservative hosts who air the most misinformation. Aysen says leadership is a major influence in this trend.
when you look at public discourse and you look at public figures and you see examples of a disregard for truth or disregard for verifying stories or a disregard for fair and kind of accurate representations, I think that those practices encourage more of the same practice.
Wisconsin Democrats proposed a package of bills earlier this year aimed at strengthening local journalism and its workforce. One bill would offer a tax credit for local newspaper subscriptions, but it didn't pass in the state Senate.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly cloudy, breezy, a high near 39. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low near 30. Partly sunny for Sunday with a high near 39. For Monday, a few sprinkles with a high near 42. 31, the high on Tuesday with flurries. Wednesday's high, 22.
Right now, it's 28.
Dom Selvia.
Jess P.S., Dom's producer here. Next time, catch Dom and Jess back in the studio to chop up the news with our favorite FDR Democrat or socialist. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Finally, a voice for real news and great conversation in the Fox Valley, WISS.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome to New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. This edition features a look at traditions. Now, you probably have some of your family's favorite recipes, you enjoy fun customs, or even share beliefs that have been passed down from generation to generation. Our cover story will focus on food traditions in New Wisco. Fish fries, booyah, brats, custard, there's a long list of cuisine that keeps us connected to our roots here. But why? We go in search of some answers. Amanda Nimmer expounds on some of the lesser known, okay, maybe odd is the better word, traditions that she's heard about. We also have the story of a man who is not keeping his fun and tasty traditions from Africa to himself. Learn about his new custom of sharing them in New Wisco. This time of year and the traditions it brings can also bring a fire risk. So we have a story for you about one fire department's efforts to keep the wreath green. Joanne Krulatz warns us of scams this holiday season. Brittany Merlot tells us about the Skywarn Recognition Day. And Melissa Kay reports on a medical trial being conducted right here in Wisconsin. Pete Schwabe has a fun, albeit not necessarily family-friendly film that's perfect for a cold night. And later we'll hear some oompa-pas. Yeah, Terry Barr is going to introduce us to an Appleton man who's keeping the tradition of polka music alive and well. First, let's open up this issue with a story on a new tradition that the Oshkosh School District is starting. You may have heard of the Citizens Police Academy. That's when police departments have like a school for people to learn about how things operate. Well, the Oshkosh Area School District is launching a community engagement program it's calling the Oshkosh Schools Academy. It's a six-month program designed to allow community members to expand their knowledge of the OASD's mission and strategic priorities. Superintendent Dr. Brian Davis says the academy is a good way for the community to get an inside look at the operations, leadership, and governance of the Oshkosh Area School District. He says it will allow people to explore a deeper knowledge of the district and how it operates, and will also help people thinking of running for school board. It'll help students, parents, and taxpayers.
You know, most of our constituents, taxpayers in Oshkosh, don't have kids in school. So having an idea of, you know, how the district works, what our top priorities are, you know, one of our areas of focus is around community engagement and how can we increase the number of volunteers that we have in our schools. And so this is an opportunity for that also.
The program will run from January to June 2025 with monthly sessions covering topics ranging from district operations to academic priorities, staff development, and community engagement. The monthly sessions will be conducted in a workshop type format.
We certainly want it to be interactive. You know, we want people to be able to ask questions and to be able to, also provide some ideas. You know, if there's resources that people have that they think can get matched up for the district to help promote some of our initiatives, then that's great. I mean, we're always open to that.
Davis added that participants will also engage in a book study on the book Schools Cannot Do It Alone by Jamie Vollmer.
We'll do a little book study, you know, because there should be a little bit of homework with the Schools Academy, but it's a good opportunity to be able to gain some perspectives.
The deadline to apply for the Oshkosh Schools Academy is December 11th. The program is limited to 30 participants. If more than 30 people apply, the participants will be selected at random, and those not selected will be added to the waitlist for the next year's program. There's no charge to participate in the Oshkosh Schools Academy. For more information on Oshkosh Schools Academy, including the application form and program details, visit the OASD website. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Lisa Hale.
Sweet chocolate, chocolate malt, candy, gumdrops, anything you want. You've come to the right man because I'm the candy man.
One New Wisco man is combining candy and tradition. Conrad Krieger reports.
Yawasare from Golden Coast Candy in Appleton, Wisconsin, shares how he wanted to popularize candy from Ghana, where Asare was born, with Share's Ghana-style brittle.
Yeah, I'm originally from Ghana in West Africa. Came to the U.S. in 92, went to Lawrence University, met my wife, got married, and I've got three kids. I wanted to go ahead and popularize like something, some type of food from Africa, right? Yeah. And I was like, well, why don't you go ahead and start off with your favorite childhood snack? So I was like, all right. And the peanut brittle was my is what I started out with, right? And
okay.
Started out with a bag of about with 300 bags, sold it to family and friends and all that kind of stuff. And in about 2020, my partner joined the company. I'd actually been talking to him about a whole bunch of different business ideas and all that kind of stuff. And he was like, "Why don't you go ahead and put out African food or food from Ghana or whatever it is? Because you guys have great food, but you really don't put it out there for people to try." And so I was like, "All right, you know what? Why don't we go ahead and do that?" Yeah, so that's what I wanted to do. I mean, so it just started out that way. It's like, all right, I'm putting out my favorite childhood snack, put it out there. And then as he and I grew the company, we acquired Sweet Peas Pantry, which was the person who was actually making the brittle for me as sort of like a white label thing. I would go out there and go sell it. She wanted to retire, and I was like, we were like, if she retires, who's going to make this brittle for us?
Right.
So we had to come up with a means to go ahead and purchase the company, which we did. And so now we have Share's Ghana style brittle and also a Sweet Peas Pantry, which has a bunch of other confectionery products. You have everything from orange peels. We have them in sticks, but orange peels. And then we dip them in chocolate. Yep. Everything from that to candied pecans and then also toffees. And then a sponge candy, clusters, all type. You name it, we got it in there.
Asare explains why Ghana-style brittle is different from other brittles and why Share's brittle doesn't stick to your teeth.
Very different recipe, right? So there's two types that we have. And we have the whole nut and we also have what we call smooth. I like the smooth one where you pretty much chop up the nuts really fine. And then what you do is encase the whole thing in caramelized cane sugar. All right. Unlike your traditional brittle, we don't use corn syrup, baking soda, butter. It's all natural.
Yeah.
It makes it just a lot easier to bite into. It's also a lot less sticky. And that's actually what really did it for people. And I was actually kind of surprised because I thought, yeah, it's a great tasting product. Everybody was like, it doesn't stick to my teeth. Well, you know what? If that's what's doing it for you, absolutely fantastic. So, we came up with the tagline for it's the not too sweet, nutty treat that doesn't stick to your teeth.
Asare tells you where you can buy Share's Ghana style brittle.
Well, in Appleton, obviously, where I live, you can get it at Free Market. You can get it actually at Festival. We just got them into Festival. Yep. The best thing is to go to our website. The website is www.sharaysgsb.com. You can order it online, yes, but if you wanted to find a place to buy it physically, if you go to our locations page, you can find everywhere where it's at.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That was Yawasare, who joined Nightlight with Pichwaba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network. With New Wisco Weekend, I'm Conrad Krieger.
Now you talk about your childhood wishes. You can even eat the dishes.
I've so been looking forward to this segment of New Wisco Weekend. Amanda Nimmer joins us now with unique traditions.
Traditions. Every family has one. They give us a sense of stability, they help us connect with our roots, and they give you that feeling that you belong, especially when you create them and you see them passed down from generation to generation. And while most families have those joyful, inclusive, heartwarming traditions, every family has got a weird one. Something funky, out of this world, and just plain silly. Yep, you're nodding. You already know what I'm talking about. These traditions are fun, silly, and just full of abnormality, forcing anyone on the outside looking in to raise their eyebrow in confusion, a little bit of concern, and let's face it, complete and utter intrigue. Every family has a weird tradition, and if you think yours doesn't, you just simply haven't talked about it. And that's the fun when it comes to weird traditions, is once you start talking with other people about it and discovering just how unique it is to your family, to you, it makes it so much better. And quite frankly, becomes a bragging right. For instance, let's take a look at my family. Deep in my childhood, I thought this was a family staple, and that every family celebrated this tradition on their birthday, beyond getting the cake, beyond blowing out the candles and making that wish that you can't tell anyone because otherwise it doesn't come true. When it was time to eat the cake, and you're the birthday person, you're not allowed to speak at all. And the fun of it was that everyone who was eating cake would try to make the birthday person laugh, giggle, make some kind of noise, utter any kind of sound. Because if that happened before you finished your piece of cake, you were banished to finish that piece underneath the table. And yeah, a little bit of kicking and nudging was involved. Looking back, if you were to ask me why, I honestly couldn't tell you, and the person I could ask is no longer with us to explain. But that is what we did. Like, it's fun. It's funny. It's weird. It makes those core memories that you can pass on from generation to generation. And every family has one. Lisa, hey, what was your weird family tradition? Come on. I know you got one.
Christmas breakfast is the weird tradition we had in our family. Why was it weird? Because we were not allowed to go into the living room to see what Santa brought or to see any of the presents or decorations until after Christmas breakfast was eaten. And every year that breakfast was Raisin Bran.
Ugh, Raisin Bran.
To this day, my sister still hates Raisin Bran. And then one year, inexplicably, when we were teenagers, Mom changed it up. Breakfast became sweet rolls from Pillsbury that had that orange-flavored icing. I carry on that tradition every year with my family.
See, that's a weird tradition that I would tell friends and family about, as long as you're sticking to the cinnamon rolls and not the Raisin Bran.
And just wait, I've got another story for you. There's dancing around the kitchen with the Thanksgiving turkey. Every year, Mom would wake us up at 6 a.m.
Whoa, hang on there, Lisa. Wait, what? No, we don't have time to go into this. Wait, I'm sorry, what? Okay, no, another time. We'll get to that another time. But what I'm saying is the weird traditions are the best ones to share, especially when you're making new friends or introducing new family members to the fold. Because if they can embrace and run with the craziness that comes from the nut jobs in your family, then they were truly meant to be there all along. And if you're sitting here feeling left out because you don't have any kind of unique, strange, and fun traditions, it's not too late to make your own. Why not start today? From New Wisco Weekend, I'm Amanda Nimmer. And there you go. Hey, Lisa! Let's circle back to that turkey, huh?
I would, Amanda, but we're running out of time.
Country music singers have always been a real close family. But lately, some of my kin folks have disowned a few others in me. I guess it's because I kind of changed my direction. Lord, I guess I went and broke their family tradition.
Still ahead, we're cooking up some food traditions in our cover story. It's a delicious way to learn more about the cultural history of our area. This is New Wisco Weekend.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot?
Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle. Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Jeffrey from Madison.
I worked for the city of Madison for 34 years. Act 10 cost me $42,000.
Yep.
In 1977, the state of Wisconsin passed a law that says public employees cannot strike. With Act 10, now we can't bargain for working conditions and benefits, so they basically turned public employees into second-class citizens.
Yes.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
A new choice. The Fox Valley's real news and great conversation. WISS.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is New Wisco Weekend on Civic Media radio stations WGBW and WISS. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. Coming up, a medical study in Wisconsin and holiday scams to be wary of. First, Peach Wabba's classic movie pick of the week.
New Wisco Weekend presents Peach Wabba's Classic Movie Pick of the Week.
This week's movie dips its toe into the Christmas waters, but it's not a full-blown Christmas film. Night Shift might not overwhelm you with Christmas cheer, but it is set at that time of year and will definitely deliver some holiday laughs. The film stars a Henry Winkler who took a break from filming Happy Days and a fresh-faced Michael Keaton who crushed his role as obnoxious hipster Bill Blazejowski, basically saying, "Hollywood, here I am." Winkler plays Chuck Lumley, an overstressed financial planner on sabbatical, working nights in the New York City morgue where it's quiet, until Bill Blazejowski, or Billy Blaze, shows up and never stops talking, driving Winkler crazy.
You wonder why I carry this tape recorder? It's to tape things. See? I'm an idea man, Chuck. All right? I get ideas all day long. I can't control them. It's like they come charging in. I can't even fight them if I wanted to, you know? So I say them in here, and that way I never forget them. See what I'm saying? Okay, here's an example. Watch out. Stand back. This is Bill. Idea to eliminate garbage. Edible paper. See? Eat it. It's gone. Eat it. It's out of there. No garbage. Got everything in here. Business ideas, inventions, musicals. I wrote a couple musicals in here.
Would you like to see the rest of the office?
Yeah.
The two morgue employees end up connecting with Belinda Keaton, played by Shelley Long. Night Shift came out the summer before Cheers dropped and made Long a household name. Long plays an escort and rallies fellow escorts to work for Chuck and Billy Blaze, who operate a brothel out of the morgue and make big-time Buku Dolores until it all comes crashing down with some hilarious set pieces. In one scene, they have a party with all the escorts and a bunch of college kids. If you look close enough, you will see a partying, still undiscovered Kevin Costner. Night Shift is Ron Howard's second stab at directing and first collaboration with super producer Brian Grazer. The two teamed up later to form Imagine Entertainment and produce films like Backdraft, Apollo 13, and A Beautiful Mind. The duo both won Oscars in 2001, with Howard winning Best Director for A Beautiful Mind and Grazer winning an Oscar as the film's producer for Best Picture. Their collaboration is kind of a Christmas movie, but beware, it isn't totally family-friendly. Night Shift is a classic R-rated 1980s comedy with tons of quotable lines. While not your typical Christmas movie, it will give you lots of laughs this holiday season, and it's this week's classic movie pick of the week. For more movie and entertainment talk, join me weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. for Nightlight with Peach Wabba here on WISS and WGBW. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Peach Wabba.
It's not what I would call a fun tradition, but catching a cold, the flu, or a stomach bug does seem to happen every year. A Wisconsin clinic is conducting research on this and needs your help. Civic Media's Melissa Kay reports.
Marshfield Clinic is looking for volunteers for a community study of common respiratory illnesses and gastroenteritis. The PACER study will enroll about 1,500 people of all ages for up to 2 years. More than 700 people have signed up, but they need hundreds more. Volunteers will fill out a brief survey each week to let the study team know if they are sick or not. Volunteers will collect and mail back a nose swab when they have a cough, cold, or flu symptoms, or a stool sample if they have a stomach bug. The study results will help guide vaccine development and aid doctors who are taking care of patients with respiratory or diarrheal illnesses. It's quite rare for a large research study like this to take place in a rural Midwestern setting. This is in-depth infectious disease research that will be used at the national level. If you're interested, you're encouraged to contact the study team to see if you're eligible to volunteer. You can find out more or volunteer at marshfieldresearch.org or by calling 800-468-9700.
A common holiday tradition this time of year is exchanging gifts, also travel to see family and friends. But that's how you can get caught up in some scams. Civic Media's Joanne Krulatz reports.
Exchanging gifts usually involves family and friends, but when asked to participate online, you should be very cautious. Michelle Reinen is with the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection.
The gift exchange you find online, that could be a scam. And worse of all, if you join in, you could be participating in an illegal scheme without even knowing it. And how it works is that you receive an email or an invitation from a Facebook group or maybe a Telegram channel to join a gift exchange with strangers on the internet. And in some cases, you could even be invited by a real-life friend or acquaintance.
The scammers who contact you are not spreading holiday cheer like Santa, but are being a Grinch by trying to steal your personal information.
The pitch sounds fun, and it can be very convincing, but the real goal of these groups is not to spread the gift-giving spirit. They're run by these scammers and often only ask for your name, address, and possibly a friend's contact information so they can also be asked to join this gift exchange. What happens next is you're told to send a gift to a stranger, oftentimes called a secret sister, with the promise that another stranger will send you a gift. And then some schemes promise that the more people you recruit, the more gifts you're going to receive. But unfortunately, the targets rarely receive anything. So the consumers that get involved in this. And you're just giving a scammer your private information, which of course can lead to identity theft and whatever product you purchase that will likely be resold by the scammer.
Reinen suggests how to avoid an online gift exchange scam.
You can avoid these by not entering into them with strangers. Recognize when you're invited in from these groups where you don't know people, that would be a great way to recognize that you don't want to participate. And if you're asked to recruit new members or promise more gifts if you recruit more, that should be a red flag. And
when traveling for the holidays, many travel by air to get to their destination. To avoid the wait at an airport, travelers find ways to speed things up, which could involve scammers.
None of us like waiting in line, and we all enjoy it if you get selected for TSA PreCheck, and that can speed things up. And scammers know this, and so they send emails appearing to be from TSA PreCheck. The emails want you to click a link that takes you to a fake website that looks like the official TSA website, so it's an imposter. If you pay to enroll or renew your TSA PreCheck, you might not even realize that you've just been paying a scammer until you get to the airport.
There are red flags that Michelle Reinen says can be spotted to avoid being scammed.
If you're applying for TSA PreCheck for the first time, you can't pay the application fee online. To get PreCheck, you complete the application and pay in person at a TSA enrollment center, which you can find those locations online, but only a scammer will ask you to pay online to enroll. And if you already have TSA PreCheck and it's time to renew, you can pay either in person or online. The real TSA will send renewal reminder emails out. To avoid the scam, start your renewal by directly typing in the web address, tsa.gov/precheck, instead of clicking on the link.
If you have been a victim of these scams, you can contact DADCAP's Consumer Protection Hotline by phone at 1-800-422-7128 or by email at datcphotline@wi.gov. From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Coming up, we're flipping the page to our cover story. From Booyah to Bratz, why the tradition of food remains such a strong connection here. We'll be back in just a moment with New Wisco Weekend.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support WISS, the Valley's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President-elect Donald Trump's in Paris, where he'll attend the opening of the Notre Dame Cathedral after the fire 5 years ago. But ABC's Mary Alice Park says this trip also represents his first foreign visit since his election.
Trump has promised to dramatically shake up U.S. foreign policy, specifically trade policy. He campaigned on sweeping tariffs on goods coming from abroad, spooking allies, and leading economists to warn of potential price hikes for consumers. But this week, Trump boasting of how leaders in Canada and Mexico were already responding to his threats.
It's not clear where Trump stands on TikTok. A federal court Friday allowed the law requiring TikTok to be sold to remain in place. Ceremonies today at Pearl Harbor marking 83 years since the Japanese attack that led to the U.S. entry into World War II. And South Korea's president survived an impeachment vote after his bid to impose martial law this week. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Bucks lose in Boston. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks kept it close. The game featured 11 ties, 14 lead changes, but Boston pulled away and got the win, 111-105. Doc Rivers pretty much summed it all up.
I thought we played great basketball for 3.5 quarters, and then I thought in the fourth quarter, the last 7 minutes, we went away from our execution that we were doing all game. A lot of tough shots. So, good learner for us. You know, the one thing when you watch them, they don't do that. They resist. Even in their ISOs, when they're covered, they put the ball on the floor to make plays for each other. I didn't think we did that tonight.
The Bucks are now 0-9 when they play in Boston. Men's college basketball today. Marquette hosting Wisconsin this afternoon in Milwaukee. The women's college volleyball tournament, the Badgers and Golden Eagles, are in the Sweet 16, headed to the regionals next week. Last night, the Badgers beat number 7th-ranked Georgia Tech at the Fieldhouse in Madison 3-1. Marquette held out in a thriller over Utah 3-2. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly cloudy, breezy, a high near 39. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low near 30. Partly sunny for Sunday with a high near 39. For Monday, a few sprinkles with a high near 42. 31, the high on Tuesday with flurries. Wednesday's high, 22.
It's 30 at our studios.
From the Lake Shore to Lake Winnebago.
Door to Fond du Lac counties.
Northeast Wisconsin is special for many different reasons. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Family and fun.
Safe communities and friends. We're featuring all of it as part of New Wisco Weekend, a news magazine show just for you, and highlighting what makes the Fox Valley and Green Bay area a great place to live. Join us.
New Wisco Weekend, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Michigan man leads lawnmower chase. I'll stop, says the suspect. Instead, he reaches under the seat and pulls out a gun.
Shoots himself in the hand.
The deputy has his taser trained on him, and yes, he tased him.
I'm not advocating him for crime, but boost something that goes faster than cop on foot.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Earl Ingram.
Join me on the next show. It's Motown Monday. We'll catch up on the news from the weekend and talk about the politricksters of the day.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is New Wisco Weekend. For radio stations 98.3 WISS and 97.9 WGBW, I'm Lisa Hale, your host. It's time for our cover story. Food seems to be such a huge part of so many traditions, and not just at this time of year, but year-round. Terry Barr tells us of the food traditions you'll find right here in New Wisco.
Happy to welcome to our program today, Heather Heil. Heather, I'm just going to go with this. You are a Northeast Wisconsin foodie, and you support different restaurants, and I just love everything about this. Heather, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Terry. I will have to say this new foodie title that I've been getting is a little overwhelming and humbling. I have always considered myself, as you said, someone who just loves to support the local amazing chefs in our area and in our wonderful state, and really push my palate to the max and try new things and experience that. It really makes life so much more special.
Don't you feel in Northeast Wisconsin, we are very lucky? You said push the palate. You can do that going restaurant to restaurant or house to house. How lucky are we that we have so many great varieties of things to eat?
We are so blessed, Terry, in that retrospect. And when people come to our area and say, hey, I'm looking for this and to eat here, where do you recommend? I have to drill down really far to find that niche of where I want to send them, of what are you hungry for? What are you looking for? What price point? And all of those things. How amazingly blessed are we that that's the problem I have?
Why do you feel the tradition of food is so important in our lives, especially in Northeast Wisconsin?
Terry, it brings people together. And for me personally, especially this time of year, my plans revolve with my family and friends with doing activities here in Northeast Wisconsin and then going and sharing a meal together in that shared camaraderie. It really makes the holidays that much more special and creates those traditions.
Let me ask you about your traditions then. Tell me how your background ties into the traditions you continue today.
Sure. I grew up in a very German family where we fed armies of people when we gathered. I would like to share with you, we've already kicked off our holiday season with my family and went to a place called the Union Hotel in De Pere. It is an old historic hotel that this time of year brings in Yuletide carolers, and they dress in timepieces and very vintage supper club. The drinks are top notch. And then you get to sit down, have these wonderful meals. And if I might recommend their mushroom bisque soup.
Oh,
over the moon. Get the mushroom bisque soup. And the carolers go around from table to table and sing your table a Christmas song when they come to you.
How lovely is that?
It's really an amazing experience.
What do you traditionally have at home for the holidays?
At home for the holidays, we will do a lasagna. We will do chili. We do anything that we can make ahead of time, just so we're not spending that time in the kitchen and we're able to spend that with one another.
Some of that still feels pretty traditional. It's got your dairy. It's got some of the things.
That's the Wisconsin part of me. And that's absolutely the part of me. So when we're eating at home, it's very heartwarming food, soul food, and heavy, deliciously dairy, amazing foods like that.
Do you have a favorite? Is there a favorite traditional food of yours? And maybe it's something you don't get to have very often.
It is my great-grandmother's Swedish meatballs served over mashed potatoes.
More traditions.
We are a Packer family. So we will go out as a family and we will have a large tailgate with our brats and our cheese curds. If you haven't and don't have a tailgate to go to, Terry, it doesn't matter. People share their food. Just walk around with a little cooler full of your drinks and it will be a wonderful, wonderful holiday memory for you.
different areas of Green Bay seem to really be kind of popping up with new ideas to bring families in. What is one that is a favorite of yours that you're seeing?
Terry, up and coming is our Broadway district here in Green Bay, Wisconsin. We are in the works of creating a new public market, and we are so excited for that to come. But in the meantime, they've already hit the ground running and have brought a Kindle market to the area that is so lovely to do that outdoor shopping in. They also have a wine walk incorporated to that. And why I love that so very much is that it gives me an opportunity to visit all of their small shops and restaurants and really understand what each local person is doing and how I can continue to support those venues.
This is terrific because it sounds like take tradition and enjoy what has been part of your past, your heritage, but then don't be afraid to kind of step outside that box and learn what may be other people's traditions. What will you do on Christmas Day?
On Christmas Day, it is the one day I get up with the chickens, Terry. So it is the one day that I allow myself to sleep in and wake up. And then our family will make a brunch together. So this year I am recreating a dish that I had in Milwaukee at the Harley Davidson Museum, which is a banana bread French toast. Ooh. And it is everything that it sounds like and wonderful. So we'll do that, and we'll do traditional eggs with that, and all of the breakfast sausage and bacon and fixing with that. And then we'll open gifts and drink our holiday nog and enjoy one another.
Heather Heil with a ton of tradition ideas and stepping forward. Thank you. I hope you and your family have wonderful holidays this year.
You as well, Terry. Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Thank you. And same to you. And again, Heather Heil, she is our Northeast Wisconsin foodie. Thanks, Heather.
Practicing fire safety and reminding the community about it is a tradition with the Appleton Fire Department. The Appleton Fire Department's Keep the Wreath Green program, which started in November and runs through New Year's Day, promotes fire safety during the holiday season. Its goal is to minimize residential and commercial fires. Alex Quintana, the public information officer for the Appleton Fire Department.
So the holiday season brings increased fire risk for many reasons. We have decorative lighting. With that comes potentially overloading outlets, maybe some holiday decorations that you've had for quite a few years or maybe even quite a few generations. So, you know, upkeep on those, looking out for frayed wiring.
Each Appleton fire station displays wreaths with green bulbs. When a fire occurs in the city, a green bulb will be replaced with a red one. Whenever a bulb changes, the fire department will update its social media. Holiday fire safety tips will also be shared regularly. The holiday season is particularly active for fire departments due to added decorative lighting, candle usage, holiday trees and decorations, increased cooking, and extra family guests. These factors elevate the risk of fires, and Quintana says that makes vigilance especially important.
Cooking fires are always our number one cause for residential structure fires. All year round, it's a big deal. But particularly during the holidays, you have an increased amount of cooking. Perhaps you're using multiple appliances at once. You feel the rush. You might be a lot more distracted than normal with extra members, family, or friends in your household.
Quintana said the holiday brings one tradition that is the biggest fire risk, the fresh cut tree.
Making sure that you water your tree every day. That is extremely important. Dry trees will go up very, very quickly and very easily. Obviously, if you get a fake tree or the plastic holiday trees, you may not have those concerns. But regardless of whether it's a natural cut tree or a synthetic tree, the fire hazard is still there. It's just with the natural cut tree, you do want to keep it watered to reduce that fire hazard.
Since one red bulb has already been lit this year as a fire from a kitchen stove damaged a house on Appleton's north side the day before Thanksgiving, the department is aiming to tie the record in 2011 when there was just one red bulb and encourages citizens to practice fire safety to keep those wreaths as green as possible throughout the season.
All that I ask is for community members to be just a little bit more mindful around the holidays, especially when you're cooking and with your decorations.
Stay safe this holiday season by following updates and tips on the Appleton Fire Department's social media channels. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Lisa Hale.
Call out the holly, put up the tree before my spirit falls again. Fill up the stocking, we may be rushing.
It's a special day in the weather world, especially for those enthusiasts that like to observe it. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot explains.
This is the 25th year of Skywarn Recognition Day. What's that, you ask? Well, it's a day to celebrate the contributions to public safety made by Skywarn spotters. These people volunteer their time to report back important information during threatening severe weather events. You may not have guessed this, but it's mainly amateur radio operators exchanging QSO information with as many National Weather Service stations as possible over meter bands. These amateur radio operators work around the clock to submit information about tornadoes, storms, or strong winds. Because those severe weather conditions could cause significant damage to people's lives and properties in the storm's path. For instance, if there's a high-risk day of severe weather, these Skywarn spotters will be activated by the NWS. The volunteers come from all walks of life and backgrounds. They use their radio, usually either installed at home or for on the move in their car. When they hit bad weather, they simply get on the waves, say a call sign, signal report, and a one or two word description of the weather occurring where they're located. For example, tornado on the ground, or it could simply be snow squall. Visibility less than a quarter of a mile. Every year, 290,000 reports come in on any weather irregularities. And these reports have worked to lessen the overall damage, allowing people and organizations to save money. It's simply the ground truth. And these people are specially trained by the National Weather Service to accurately report and relay this imperative information. A prior warning by a Skywarn volunteer helps lessen casualties. Now, if you've ever been around a tornado touchdown, you've heard the meteorologist on, let's say, TV, say that the tornado warning has been confirmed by a trained storm spotter. That's usually who this is. After completing classes and becoming certified, they also usually lead and teach the public classes that we all can take to become a storm spotter, where there's no equipment needed. So yes, even you can do this and help out with accurate reports. This can range from severe weather to simply recording daily precipitation at your house. There's plenty of ways weather enthusiasts can be a part of the bigger picture and help save lives with valuable information. So today, all spotters and amateur radio operators around the nation are checking in online to be recognized. You can head to weather.gov/CRH/Skywarn Recognition to see how many are currently on. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Every culture has a unique tradition when it comes to music, and in Wisconsin, there's one that's so ingrained, it's the soundtrack for the official state dance. Can you guess what it is? Well, the answer and a story about it when we come back. First, a new survey by Pew Research shows that close to 60% of Americans believe it's important to share at least one customary family dish during the holidays.
I'm Lisa Hale. This is New Wisco Weekend.
From Oshkosh to Neenah, this is 98.3 WISS. The Todd Alba Show.
Cash Patel, who Trump has nominated to be the head of the FBI, saying he wants to basically shut down the main parts of the FBI. Bill Barr, MAGA Republican Attorney General to Donald Trump. Quote, the very idea of moving Patel into a role like this showed a shocking detachment from reality. Unquote. This is not the left calling out Patel. This is the right.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale. Keeping a Wisconsin musical tradition alive is the mission of our next guest. Here's Terry Barr.
I am so happy to welcome to our show today Aaron Schulke. Now, Aaron is the owner of WRJQ Radio. That is an online radio station based in Appleton. Aaron, thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Terry. How are you?
I am great. And I'm looking forward to talking to you about this, let's say, kind of a specific fun tradition in Wisconsin.
Oh, absolutely.
Let's dive into the idea of polkas as a tradition. Where did this start? How did this become the state dance and music that we all really enjoy and love?
I know it started back in in Bohemia, in that area of Eastern Europe there near Poland, and Germany was involved as well. But I think it really came when a lot of people would emigrate to Wisconsin, and really became popular in the 1930s, especially in Eastern Wisconsin toward Manitowoc. That's a real rich Czech Bohemian style polkas. And Romy Gaz, of course, was the one who was the most popular in the Manitowoc. To walk Kewaunee County areas, and not to discount the Germans who went to southern Minnesota, south central Minnesota. That was a big thing there too. But in Wisconsin, anyways, the Manitowoc and Kewaunee County areas of the state were real rich in that Czech and Bohemian style. Everybody who had a wedding, knew a band, and it would be 3 or 4 piece. It could be a 10-piece band, and they'd all have barn dances and play the weddings and that type of thing. And it just carried on. And then when, recordings became available, around that same time, they would record those, and then it would be distributed to the rest of the state, and even in some cases nationally.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, you're the owner of WRJQ Radio, and you play nothing but polkas. Why was this important to you, and what's the history of the radio station?
Well, WRJQ is an online-only radio station right now. I run it from my house. It's going on 19 years. But before that, it was an actual AM radio station from about... Well, the signal goes back to 1952. It was WAPL, the first rock and roll station in Wisconsin. But eventually around 85 or so, it became polkas and a few other changes here and there. But when I started working in radio at the age of 13, that would have been 1994, we were playing a mix of big bands and polkas. And I was interested in radio first, and this station just happened to be up the road from where I grew up. So anyways, that station went off the air. A lot of people had asked me, streaming services were being popular or becoming popular at that time. And I said, well, let me look into it and I'll see what I can do. And I looked into it, and here we are 19 years later.
That is awesome. And I've looked around. There are very few radio stations playing polkas anymore. And I can recall so many stations had an entire Sunday show at one point. What happened to everyone, and why did you decide to stick with it?
I enjoy the music. That was part of my childhood, so I decided to focus on that. And it was a niche that needed to be filled, and there are still some polka shows on radio stations throughout the Midwest and up the East Coast, too, but not like it used to be, like you said.
Have we lost the tradition, or are we finding our way back? What are you kind of seeing when it comes to maybe a trend around the tradition of polka?
We haven't lost the tradition. What's gone are the big 8, 9, 10 piece groups that had charts in front of them and nice musical and intricate arrangements and things like that. And now what's happening is there's, you know, younger people are leading 2, 3, and 4 piece bands that are a lot easier to book. Let's just be honest, for the event holders and things like that. But that's where it's really going. Now, there are still some places that eventually will throw out a showcase, a nice 8 piece band. And those are real special moments. It's out there. There's a lot of church picnics, and there's a lot of beer gardens, beer halls and things like that, that hire these younger groups who I'm fortunate enough to call my friends. I mean, that's how close everybody is in this community. That's really the difference. So that the tradition and the fun and frivolity of it all is not gone or lost. It's just in a different format these days.
What would you like to see for the future of polka music?
As much as we all love Ray Dorschner and Six Fat Dutchman and, you know, Romy Gaz type bands from yesteryear, it's not coming back. And I mean, there'll be a tribute here and there, and we'll get some guys together and we'll do that, but it's not a regular thing. So I would just love to see these younger, and when I say younger, I mean, they're my age in their 40s and 50s, but I'd like to see those bands continue, the fun trios, and they're mixing in some country and some rock and things like that in there too. The older people who grew up with the old big bands, the larger polka bands, still like it, but yet the younger people are not, oh, geez, that's my great grandma's music. You know, they're not like that at all. So that's that. I'd like to see that going forward.
Well, now I'm going to ask you, do you have a favorite or one that you like to dance to?
I don't dance. I'm a listener
only.
Oh, no. I don't dance.
Okay. Do you have kind of a favorite? I know you don't want to really pick one and say that's it, but...
Well, asking, you know, if there's a favorite song or two is like asking who your favorite kid is. You know, when you do this for, you know, I'm going on 30 years this Christmas Eve. It'll be 30 years in broadcasting. I enjoy the Minnesota Dutchman style a lot. Ray Dorschner and the Rainbow Valley Dutchman from Menasha, Wisconsin, huge influence on my musical tastes. But he borrowed that from Minnesota. So there's a lot of bands out there, Elmer Scheid, the Six Fat Dutchman, Babe Wagner. I know those are all old bands, but I do like the more the German Dutchman style, but I like it all. There's some Polish style that I like, even though it's a little bit, you know, on the younger side for my musical taste, but I love going to Pulaski and seeing that stuff and watching everybody dance. And the average age is like 20 on the floor. They're just whipping around. I really do like it all. It's really hard to pick a favorite, but if I had to, I would say Minnesota Dutchman style. Absolutely. 100%.
Aaron Schulke, owner of WRJQ Radio in Appleton, online polkas all the time. Thanks for keeping the tradition alive.
We're doing the best we can. I appreciate your time, Terry. Thanks for having me on.
This polka is a live version by Ray Dorschner and his band. Now, talk about tradition. Dorschner's group has been together for more than 60 years. And during that time, two of his brothers and three of his sons have played with the Menasha-based group. Thank you for being a part of New Wisco Weekend, your look at the stories and issues facing Northeast Wisconsin. New Wisco Weekend is produced and written by Terry Barr and Lisa Hale. Our executive producer is Todd Michaels, directed by Lisa Hale. Lead correspondent is Terry Barr, with features by Conrad Krieger, Brittany Merlot, Melissa Kay, Joanne Krulatz, and Pete Schwaba. Plus, we have our commentator, Amanda Nimmer. If you have a story you'd like to hear covered, please feel free to email me anytime, lisa.hale@civicmedia.us. You can also text us through the Civic Media app. I'm Civic Media Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hale. For WISS and WGBW News, be unstoppable.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Monday's show, we'll check in with Brittany Merlot for our first look at our week's weather. And Andy Parks with the Brown County Civic Music Association will tell us about their upcoming Christmas concert with Copper Street Brass Show.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9. The Todd Alba Show.
Pat Kreitlow, all your time in the media, television, radio, what have you, what was one or two of the oddest things that people were complaining about?
As a TV anchor, your hair.
You have some of the finest hair around. How could anybody criticize your hair?
Oh, well, because a consultant forced me to change it.
Were there focus groups?
I'm not aware of any focus groups other than the audience, which universally hated it. It was a bowl haircut.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Thank you for listening to WISS Berlin, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.